Ladies and gentlemen, it's your favorite hour of the week. It's time for the Arrowhead Pride Preview Podcast. My name is Pete Sweeney. I'm here with the former chief, Sean Barber, wearing your chief's garb today. Joel Thorman, the blog father. What's going on, guys?
Not much. Sean, yeah, I like this shirt. If only I had a shirt like that with my own name and number on it.
That's next level.
What would your number be?
21, like Dion.
Okay.
I've thought about that before.
Well prepared with
yes,
the answer.
Yes.
Mine would be 11 for the new Alex Smith. And we hadn't seen the new Alex Smith last week, but we hope to see him on Monday Night Football. It's the Chiefs playing the Washington Redskins at home, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. Sean McDonough, John Gruden on the call. But before we get into that game, let's talk about last week. Chiefs win against the San Diego Chargers. Sean, I'm going to turn to you first. What did you learn about the Kansas City Chiefs last week?
Not what I learned about the Chiefs, but what did I learn about the Chargers? I learned that the Chargers is the best 0-3 team in the league right now. They got two guys that come hot off that corner, Ingram and Bosa. We talked about them before the game, and they showed it during the game.
Aren't they the best sub-500 team in the league every year, though?
So they are who they say they are. They are who we thought they were. But they're going to be a team. They're going to upset a bunch of teams throughout the season, teams that kind of take them for granted because their record. They're going to always pretty much throughout the whole season probably have a losing record, somehow end up with about 6 wins, I think, for the season. But those 6 wins are probably going to be against some good teams that underestimate them because of their record.
You almost should call them the Los Angeles Spoilers because they always get to a point by the end of the season where they're playing to spoil teams rather than make the playoffs.
Right. No, I think that's absolutely right. Chargers have been kind of the same old story, and the game did kind of come down to the way we thought it would. It was a game halfway through the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, until Kareem took that last one. So it kind of went the way we expected. But yeah, the Chargers will, you know, probably win 5-6 games this year. But man, that Ingram and, you know, Amboza coming off either edge, you know, I thought for the second week in a row, the Chiefs offensive line was really tested. And that's going to be, you know, another big storyline this week.
Speaking of the Chiefs, I contacted some old colleagues yesterday. I work at Chiefs.com. Chiefs.com and Chiefs Twitter has embraced Kareem the Dream.
Kareem the Dream.
So thank you, guys. All right, now for the news. You know what that is? It's a new kicker alert. Cairo Santos placed on IR. He injured his groin last week, actually on his last warm-up kick. We had talked on our podcast on Tuesday that we had thought had been on the penalty, but he was injured all game. I think that makes the game more impressive.
Yeah, and I guess the hopeful thing here is that it sounds like there's a chance that Santos could come back this year. And I think if you're, you know, a Chiefs fan and you have kicker issues, you know, in January, we've been there before. So, you know, hopefully he can actually come back.
But what do you do if Butker at this point, Harrison Butker, the new kicker off the Carolina practice squad, what do you do if he's rolling at that point?
You go with the hot foot. You know, they used to say you go with the hot hand. So in this instance, you go with the hot foot. Whoever, if he's making, he's rolling 100% as far as extra points, nailing them in Arrowhead Stadium, then we stick with butt kicker.
Santos, best kicker in franchise history at this point statistically. It's only been, you know, 3 years. Man, I would feel much more comfortable with him if he can come back healthy, but – yeah, I mean, if somebody's rolling, I guess, you know, you got to kind of go with you know, however you're feeling at the time.
Now, there was a worry among some Arrowhead Priders, the Pride heads, some Chiefs fans about whether or not Butker would be ready since he is a practice squad player, and he was asked about that this week.
I mean, when I was in Carolina, I was preparing as if I was playing on Sundays, and I would even kick before the game, so that was kind of like my game day, you know, kicking, and you know, 2 hours before the game started. So luckily, these past 2 or 3 weeks, you know, however long I've been with the Panthers, I've been preparing as if I was kicking. So nothing's going to change this week.
Sean, you've been a player before. How hard is it to stay ready for the opportunity on the practice squad?
Well, I never had too many words for kickers. So this is a whole new a whole new world for me because I kind of almost act like it didn't exist until the final minute when we really needed them to win a ball game. But I mean, he said it, he put it in perspective. As long as he's preparing himself, going through the routines, preparing himself every Sunday, even though it's a Monday night game this week, he's been preparing himself each week as he was the kicker. And the thing that was amazing to me is that for a team like Carolina to carry a kicker on their practice squad.
Draft one in the seventh round.
Yeah, drafted and then carry him on a practice squad. It means he definitely has the talent to be in the NFL. So we're going to welcome him with open arms until he shanks one.
in Dave Tobe, I trust. You know, out of everyone available, this is who, you know, I'm sure Tobe was, you know, highly
Death,
involved.
Taxes and Dave Tobe.
Right, exactly. So I mean, I have faith in the guy just because of that.
One thing I want to mention about Butker is his Twitter handle. It's been kind of a funny thing. The media's been talking about it all week. It's ButtKicker87, and he was asked about that too this week.
Came from a trainer at Georgia Tech, like my freshman year. He just said ButtKicker or something. I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting, you know, and it's unique. And I get a lot of, you know, people say a lot of stuff about my last name being Butker, and I kind of made it a funny thing to now be ButtKicker. So I don't know. You know, I just went with it.
Get some new followers this week.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, got a couple thousand.
Couple thousand nice. New followers for Harrison Butker. He'll be the kicker this Monday night. Interested to see how he does. I'm not really worried about the low pressure situations, but you know, if it's a kick to win the game or tie the game as time's winding down, and you never know with how good this Redskins team has looked recently, I don't know. That concerns me a little bit.
Butt kicker, it says it all. Okay, he's coming here to kick some butt. So I'm actually, after the show, I'm going to actually look him up on my Twitter account and make sure I follow him.
If Butt Kicker can't do it, I'm not sure who.
I mean, now's the time, Sean. You got the fans watching. You want to plug your Twitter?
So now he's going to have 1,001 new followers.
What's your Twitter?
SeanBarber59.
Well, there you go. Follow SeanBarber59. Now, I want to talk about injuries this week. I think the big thing that I'm worried about is Dee Ford popped up. And not only was he not limited, he didn't practice on Thursday. Mitch Morse, we kind of knew wasn't going to practice. Zach Fulton filled in last week, but isn't Dee Ford popping up on that list concerning, knowing that the backup right now is Frank Zombo?
Yeah, it is concerning. One, I think the majority of the pass rush that we worry about at least comes from Justin Houston. So, you know, he's the real key there. Ford's had kind of a quiet season. I mean, he forced that one fumble and had a sack. So the other, I guess, positive if he doesn't play, or the potential positive, is maybe you get to see some snaps from Pastineau. He's only gotten a couple, you know, so far this year. So I don't know. We'll see. Sure doesn't look good at this point.
I'm excited to see the Range Rover from Villanova.
He's a monster.
Have you been hanging on to this the whole time?
Yeah, I have been. You know, I'm an A-10 guy, so I make up little nicknames for all my A-10 guys. So Atlantic 10 represent. But yeah, the Range Rover Villanova, let him get out there and ride. Let him roll over some people. That's what he does.
I've said it before. He looks like a professional wrestler, but you're coming out with the nickname today. So far, we got Butt Kicker. We got the Range Rover from Villanova. I feel T-shirts. I just can see T-shirts and more T-shirts coming from this.
Tons of A-10 love here in this podcast.
So I'm not concerned about D-4 being out. Like I said, the defense is, I mean, they've done well when he's been,
right.
I mean, barely on the stat sheet. His presence in the field running thing. I think, you know, Pastineau and Zombo both can fill that role and really, you know, show us some things.
As long as you don't put Zombo in coverage like 25 yards down the field, I think you know he can be a suitable replacement for a game.
All right, guys, continuing on, get ready. We got some very exciting offensive line news to talk about. Parker Anger, we haven't seen him practice fully in what, 2 years now. He did so on Thursday. I think that's pretty big. Do we have a left guard controversy in Kansas City?
I mean, maybe eventually. At least the eye test to me says that Witzman is probably the weak link currently along the offensive line. You know, I've always got the caveat that I don't know what the hell I'm looking at, you know, if we're being honest.
Especially when it comes to O-line.
But also the Chiefs have, you know, some, you know, Parker Anger won the job out of camp last year. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised eventually if there's some movement there.
The word controversy does not exist in the kingdom. All right. The depth chart is developed and tweaked through offseason, training camp, and preseason. Once we hit week one, the depth chart is what it is. There's no controversy during the season. You get injured, it's the next man up strategy. That's how you keep it constant across the board.
You're going with Witzman until he gets injured or just proves too weak to handle the position.
If you're there, if you earn that position during training camp, that's your position. No matter if people get healthy or not, you have to lose your position. No one can gain it during the season.
Especially when you're winning.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, what are you going to bench him when you're, you know, 7-0 or 7-1 or something like that. So, I mean, I would kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I think it might come to keep it simple, stupid. You're 3-0. You almost don't want to even make any moves, because I think you make a move and all of a sudden you lose a game. They're not necessarily, might not necessarily be your fault, mm-hmm. but people are going to look at what was different in that game. And if Parker Anger gets a promotion and they, you know, get a key sack, then, you know what I mean? It might not be his fault, but people may blame him. Eric Fisher also popping up on the injury report Wednesday. That's very concerning for me.
Yeah, especially wasn't it a back?
Yep.
I mean, 6'7" guys with back injuries. Yeah, that's definitely something that jumped out to me. But, you know, he was limited, and I guess, you know, it could easily be one of those things where you're just, like, banged up during the season, which happens all the time.
It's,
but
it's week four, so that's going to start to happen now.
Right. And you know, you notice things like this, and then they carry that injury the rest of the season. You know, they're limited, you know, all throughout practice.
You know, that had been a concern with keeping Dontari Poe. Anything with your back. You never, you know, I think – there are certain types of body parts in these guys that react differently with different people. You just never know with the back. And that's why I'm concerned when I see Eric Fisher popping up with the back. Like, that's troubling.
Yeah. Right. The one thing Andy and Brett Veach have done is they always have created a lot of depth in their offense and defensive line just for that kind of reason. The guys in the trenches, it's a whole different type of battle there. And so it's rarely you find that same five guys, same four guys line up for you for 17 weeks straight. That's the position on, you know, both sides of the ball that you have to be really deep at.
Last injury storyline I want to address is the fact that the Chiefs have traded for Reggie Ragland. He was active last week, but didn't see any time against the Los Angeles Chargers. You think we see him this week?
I'm hoping we do, especially on the special teams. You know, I think when you're a linebacker and you come in, DJ and Malik Wilson, they have a thing going on right now. They have a duet that sounds so good to me right now, the way they're reading, communicating, having guys line up. I wouldn't want to interfere with that by trying to get Reggie some extra snaps. But in the goal line, short yardage package, whenever you bring that extra backer in, let him come and get his feet wet. But he can definitely make an impact with his athleticism and his impact to make a hit on special teams.
I tend to agree. I see 10 to 12 defensive snaps for Ragland. What do you think?
Yeah, if even that much on defense. I've always kind of looked at this as more of a redshirt year. And, you know, you saw Kevin Pierre-Louis come in there at some point during the Chargers game. So I would imagine he's ahead of Reggie Ragland.
Let's move on now to the Washington Redskin Kansas City Chiefs storylines for the game. John, I'll start with you. There's something special about playing on Monday Night Football, isn't there?
I mean, you're the only show on the network. All your peers, all the other teams, everybody's watching, their families, your family, everybody's watching. And you get that Monday night, you know, the NFL, they put a lot of resources into that Monday night game. So that's the time when you need to really shine.
Yeah, I think Monday night is a big night. Not only because it's on national television, it just sometimes seems like it's truly a different brand of football. I don't know if it's a little tougher, whereas like Thursday night is kind of the night for like a trash game. Like that's the reputation that Thursday night has. Monday night is the premier game where all the eyes are on you and it's time to prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who doesn't want to play in prime time? This is the start of like a 6-week stretch for the Chiefs where they're going to have a ton of national audiences and eyeballs on them. So it should be a fun run here.
Yeah.
And what's weird is the Chiefs are usually, and their fans are usually trying to demand respect. This year, they've been number one in the power rankings for almost the whole time.
There are so many fans who say, you know, I'd rather be like 3 or 4 at this point than 1 than have all the eyes on you. But I don't know. I'm like, this doesn't happen very often, so bring it.
The national media loving it. I heard we're going to have like a extra hour of prep time before the network started to go into their normal routine for Monday Night Football just to do like a Arrowhead tailgating hour to show the fan, you know, show everybody.
From 5 to 6 Central Time, there'll be a tailgating hour in the Arrowhead Stadium parking lot. Joel, I'm going to ask you this. I mean, you know the Arrowhead Stadium parking lot well. How many drunk people do you expect to see on the telecast?
A lot. If it's a nice day out, you know, the game starts like, what, 7:30 or something? Yeah, there will be plenty on that telecast.
Well, if you have a choice between your good grill, your old grill, your new, bring the new stuff out. Like, this is the time we want to bring everything, anything with Arrowhead, anything with Chiefs insignias and logos on it. I mean, we want that parking lot, that tailgate to really shine and let's show our bring it best meats, you know, go get KC Steak Company. You know, we need some sponsorship. Go get KC Steak Company. Go
the Arrowhead Pride Podcast sponsored by KC Steak.
Go get the best meats and you bring your best rubs. Let's get it going on.
Another storyline I want to talk about, the Gruden brothers will be in the house. Yeah. You have John Gruden in the booth and his brother, what's his brother's first name?
Jay.
That's right. Jay Gruden as the Redskins head coach. I don't know. These guys are all about football. If you can't go to the game and you're a Chiefs fan, it's also fun to hear John Gruden on the call.
Yeah, I always like hearing the national guys on the call because they spend, you know, some time with the coaches beforehand. And, you know, this year it's especially interesting because, you know, obviously the Grudens are related, but also, of course, the Grudens are related, but also John Gruden coached with Andy Reid, you know, years and years right. ago. So they have a long relationship, too. Like, I wonder which one he would be loyal to.
Andy Reid was actually asked that during his press conference. He's like, do you hold some things back from John Gruden? Because, I mean, the coaches are notoriously a little bit more honest in the TV production meeting because, you know, the NFL is all about TV. So he was asked, would you hold things back? And Andy Reid said, I trust John Gruden to the point where I would still just be just as honest because he doesn't think he would tell his brother, which I agree with.
Yeah. Even if you, like, it's so much film study done now, you already know what the other guy do. It's a matter of fact, can you prevent it from happening? Everybody knows that Kareem Hunt's going to get the ball in that situation last week. But the defenders on the field still have to stop it. And so that's when it comes down to, you know, sometimes coaches throw up their playbook. And you see the play sheet get thrown up in the air a few times during the games because you call the right play versus the right scenario in that game. When one of your players busts an assignment, that's when a coach is kind of – you lose your temper right there.
Yeah. Want to move on to one other thing about this game. We had a write-in from a fan. Greg Minuski is a former Chief from 1994 to 1999. He's the defensive coordinator for the Washington Redskins. And I'm going to read this beautiful written letter by one of the Prideheads. Homie, I have wondered this week if anyone was going to remember one of my favorite Chiefs from back in the day when he gets announced as the Redskins D coordinator on Monday night. He was kind of our Rudy. Peace. Mike Gassaway. The Chiefs Rudy's in the building on Monday. I didn't even know that.
I know. There was no talk of that. I remember talking to you earlier this week, and I was like, hey, we should do something on Greg Minuski being the former Chiefs linebacker and now the Redskins coordinator.
I said something like, Greg Minuski who?
Yeah.
He was an assistant coach here too, right, for a little bit, right?
I think so.
He started with Marty Schottenheimer in Washington and then worked his way back to Washington's now the D coordinator. And as we'll talk about in the next segment, that's a tease right there. The defense looks great so far for the Redskins. So it should be good to have a former Chief. I'm sure he's looking forward to that. The Washington media didn't really ask him about that, but I'm sure he's got to be looking forward to returning to Arrowhead on such a big night.
Yeah, when you talk about coaches loyalty, actually he was my linebacker coach my last year in Washington. So Marty's last year when he came to Washington was my last year in Washington. And Greg, we call him a Nutsky, but Greg Minuski.
This is information you can only find on the Arrowhead Pride podcast.
Yeah, it's a private thing, you know. So G New was my he was my linebacker coach that last year in Washington. And it's some things I see in his coaching style that hasn't changed in years. I mean, he's still going to be overly aggressive. He's still he's going to put a big chew in there and spit and curse and fire his guys up. I mean, he's going to come 100 miles an hour.
I can't hear anything you're saying. All I heard is Minuski's going to have a chew. That's all I've heard about this. All right. Well, we talked about the storylines and the injuries. When we come back, we'll get to X's and O's. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride podcast. Pete Sweeney here with Sean Barber and the blog father, Joel Thorman. We're talking about the Chiefs and the Redskins coming at you Monday Night Football this coming Monday night. It's Friday. A little bit of a different feel on the show, a little bit more fun. We're talking about the Chiefs offense versus the Redskins defense. And I just talked about it before. This is a new look defense under your guy, Minuski, the 3-4-5 new starters from last year. And the Redskins looked very good last week, holding the Raiders, who we regard as one of the best offenses in the league nowadays, to 128 yards. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just knowing his personality, he's a very fiery, emotional defense coordinator. He's going to be very aggressive early in the game to try to get that momentum swinging to his side. I mean, he's not going to sit back. He's not a sit back react. He'll blitz. He'll overload, go cover zero. He's going to do some things to try to get us off of our game, especially in those first 15 plays because he knows they're scripted. And he tries to really take advantage of the momentum in those initial quarters.
One person who was watching last week was Alex Smith.
I mean, that doesn't happen. All right? It doesn't happen often at all. I mean, that's a really, really good unit run and pass that just got completely, I felt like, suffocated. They got behind and then became one-sided, and they still weren't able to get much of anything going. So, yeah, but I think this defense is playing really, really good football right now as a unit all across the board, in the back end, on the front end, run and pass. So big, big test for us.
Yeah, the thing that really stood out to me about the Redskins defense was that defensive line and just the way they kind of like manhandled the Raiders there at times. And, I mean, if they do that to the Chiefs offensive line – you know, the Chiefs offense will be in trouble. I think their defense will, you know, be able to bail them out. But this is the type of, you know, front seven that they've kind of struggled against at times the last 2 weeks.
What I notice is that Derek Carr is not a guy who throws interceptions. He had 6 all year. And Alex Smith shares that trait. You know, there's a similarity between Alex and a Raider, unfortunately, but it's a good one, and they don't throw picks. This is a guy who doesn't like to turn over the football, and he gave it away twice last week. One to a rookie, Monte Nicholson, and then second-year player in Kendall Fuller, besides just the pass rush. How's his secondary for you, Sean?
Well, I mean, unlike our defense, unlike the Chiefs' defense, what Sutton does is, at the beginning of the game, it's very basic. It's very like, let's get through these first couple of drives. Let me get a feel for the offense. Let's make sure we don't give anything over the top. We'll just come up, keep it in front of us. And then he kind of gets a feel of the game, the blocking protection, the blocking scheme. And then he makes adjustments, and now our defense attacks. The Redskins' defense is totally opposite. They want to be aggressive at the line, in your face. They got, you know, 24 on the island out there. He's going to be gibbering, jabbering, talking. That's going to be very interesting to see who he lines up against and what him and maybe Tyreek Hill, how they have a battle between one another. But it's just a whole different mentality of how you play defense.
And you mentioned the pass rush. Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan combined for 5.5 sacks already on the year. And the Chiefs did struggle a little bit last week with Bosa and Ingram. Is this part two?
I mean, it's possible. Part of me thinks that just last week on Sunday night in a huge game against the Raiders at home, like the Redskins, you know, line just got up for the game. That seemed, you know, that they had a terrific performance. I'm guessing at Arrowhead, you know, on the road, that's less likely to happen. That's kind of what I'm banking on here.
And that's the thing, too, that I think about when you talk about Josh Norman is the fact that maybe the Arrowhead faithful can get under his skin a little bit. He's an emotional guy, similar to Marcus Peters, really, in a way. They're very emotional cornerbacks. So maybe he gets a little bit too into the whole Monday Night Football. He's been known to get frustrated early if he gets beat.
I would love to see something like that happen. I would love that.
Line Tyreek up on him a couple of times. I'm sure Andy Reid's going to do what he can to get the best matchup for Tyreek, and that's probably not Josh Norman all the time.
No, and you've seen Tyreek in a lot of different looks. Out of the backfield as a runner, you've seen a lot of bit of ghost action and, you know, the swing plays. So, I don't know. Andy Reid has a really dynamic and unique player in Tyreek Hill, and we've seen a lot of different looks already.
If the Redskins want to match Norman up with Hill or match Norman up with one of our receivers, then one thing Andy does is by putting those wide receivers in the backfield, it makes that cornerback now becomes part of a run fit. And that's something that most cornerbacks really don't excel at it, and they don't appreciate it. So if we can have Norman thinking he's going to match up with Hill, and then we put Hill in the backfield, now having Norman responsible for the C-gap, that becomes a benefit to the Chiefs organization.
Something he's not used to doing.
Something he doesn't want to do at all. And that's one of the things where it comes to that matchup. You know, we don't match up Peterson against other people. I mean, Peters, we don't match him up against nobody. He plays cornerback, and that's it. Other teams who try to match up cornerbacks against certain receivers, we are creative enough on the opposite side of the ball where it puts them in positions they're not really comfortable in.
We were working with the Redskins site Hogs Haven, and they asked me earlier this week, how do you stop the Chiefs? And I said, it's the three-headed monster. We've already talked about the first head of the three-headed monster. I want to talk about Travis Kelce. Kelce, only one reception for 1 yard last week. We watched the tape. We said on the Tuesday show of the Arrowhead Pride podcast that what we saw was it wasn't him being punished and left out of the game plan. It just was a matter of Alex Smith under pressure when he was intended to get a pass. And guess who confirmed your thoughts, Sean?
You know, no, not something I wouldn't have foreseen at all. I think one of the ways just kind of went that way, the way they were playing him. Also, a lot of missed opportunities as well. I think looking back, I do think that, you know, it was a lot of different reasons, I guess. You know, certainly he's a guy that gets a lot of focus from defenses, and that was part of it. But certainly I think there were some opportunities out there that we didn't take advantage of.
Just got an eye for video.
Well, I know two of those plays were possible TDs right off the bat. One was a misran route by Harris that kind of got in the way, and that made Smith hold the ball a little bit longer. And that second one was just an out and up that he was going to be wide open, and Ingram got to him before he could find him. So that's two plays that would have been 14 points in the heartbeat.
Kelce's been shut down, you know, in two games so far this year where they give him a ton of attention. And in both those games, Tyreek has scored. You know, so it's kind of like pick your poison there.
All right. Well, there you go. That's Tyreek Hill, and that's Travis Kelce. Of course, the third head in the three-headed monster is our guy Kareem the Dream, as confirmed by Chiefs.com. Will he keep the pace this week? And Reed joked about it last week. Are people going to start asking to him, should he be touching the ball more? And they asked him this week, you know, he's been under 20 carries a game. And you talked about the workload quite a bit as far as can he handle it later on in the season. Reed actually addressed that this week.
I wouldn't necessarily say cautious. I wouldn't say that. But with all our players, I mean, we try to make sure that we keep in mind how fresh they are and so on, you know, kind of where they're at physically. So it's no different with him. We'll just see how it goes here down the road. You've seen Charkanik in there, and you've seen some of the receivers, was 13 or 10, and they're taking some reps there. So everybody's kind of worked in to spot them there.
Will he keep it up?
Definitely. I think the pace they have him on right now, and it's also important to point out that our bye week, you know, week 10, that's right in the middle of the season. That's perfect for a guy. Get him through that first half of the season, you know, almost 20 touches a game, and then give him that week to freshen up, and now it's time to go finish the season.
You almost hope the Chiefs give him a red and gold, like motor scooter, completely off your feet for that week.
I mean, under 20 touches a game, I think, is an appropriate use of him. I don't think that's close to being too much. It's not like Larry Johnson back in the day. So I don't think this is even, you know, much of a discussion at this point. They're using him the right way. You know, we'll probably revisit it after Thanksgiving. But right now, I mean, keep using him.
All right, let's turn the page. Redskins offense versus the Chiefs defense. What's maybe most impressive about the Redskins game last week is they had that win all without Jordan Reed and Rob Kelly. They should play this week, but they were still able to score 27 points thanks to mostly change of pace back Chris Thompson exploding for 188 yards. Sean, what do you like about Chris Thompson? A name we really haven't known before, but a name we probably should know moving into Monday night.
Yeah, I look at him as being the X factor in the game. I mean, a guy like him, he brings to the table the same thing as the Darren Sproles, Rex Burkhead did for the Patriots and for the Eagles. He's going to be able to come out the back. He's a mismatch against any linebacker, probably even a mismatch against your safeties. He's a guy who has extreme amount of quickness, great hands, and also can get behind there and run a draw, quick screen game. They use him in so many different various situations. It's just somebody you have to really account for.
You know, I think his big playability is the thing that really concerns me, because over the course of the game, I think the Chiefs defense is usually going to win. But, you know, if it's a tight defensive game, you know, somebody who can break a big one, like that's, you know, that's the way to take it to the Chiefs.
How do the Chiefs end up containing him, Sean?
The one thing the Chiefs have shown is we do what we do. I mean, the Chiefs do what they do. It's the inside joke. The Chiefs do what they do. We play good sound defense. We don't really worry about the individual matchups. We're not trying to get our certain guys on your certain guys. We play a certain area. We're responsible for a certain gap. If somebody gets hurt, the next guy is responsible for those same things. They choose not to tweak the defense based upon your individual personal skills and abilities. It's a positional responsibility based defense. And over the long term, it's so effective because you don't go through the highs and lows against matchup problems.
Yeah.
And I think the best point earlier was, you know, you said that the Chiefs do make those adjustments, those second half adjustments. And I feel like, you know, every fan at some point you complain about your team not making second half adjustments. Like, the Chiefs are actually pretty good at that, I think.
Now, Jordan Reed is one of the better young tight ends in the league. He should be back. What do you guys think about the impact of Jordan Reed returning to this Redskins lineup, who, like I said, had a lot of success without him last week?
Well, if I'm the Chiefs, I first couple of snaps, I'm hitting Jordan Reed right in the chest.
Like, give him the Kelsey treatment.
Yeah, it's like you got to give him the toughness test. I mean, right off the bat, just in his chest, throw him to the ground a few times, make him get up, don't help him up. You got to make it real physical for him early, so he has to, like, make a commitment whether I want to be a part of this or not. Some guys you find they tap out. If they have a pre-existing injury and you start hitting them and putting them down early, they like, man, I can't do this for four quarters. And they'll go tell the trainers, hey, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they've done a pretty good job in the post-Eric Berry world covering tight ends so far. So this will just be another test. I mean, I think they'll be up for the challenge.
Is this the Terrell Pryor revenge game?
You know, he can stretch the field a little bit. I would be a little bit worried.
It's not really a revenge game. For those who know about the situation, he was with the Chiefs briefly, still wanting to play quarterback, really wasn't budging from that, ended up leaving the Chiefs. But, I mean, he was with the organization for a little bit, so you know he's going to want to show out in front of his former coaches.
I was never really too high on Terrell Pryor. I mean, he had a breakout year for the Browns, probably because it was just a lack of overall talent.
He struggled early this year.
You know, when you're with the Browns, everybody looks great because there's a lack of talent there. So, you know, when So it's hard not to look good with that organization if you have any ability. But once he gets to a team that has other wide receivers, I mean, they're guys like Dotson. Like, he's the receiver I'm really worried about, because when the ball's in the air, you can have him covered, and he has the physical character and abilities to go up and just get it no matter what.
Finally was able to get that touchdown last week.
Got a good touchdown last week. And also, like, Vernon Davis. You know,
he really looked like he was turning back the clock in Sunday Night Football.
I consider Vernon Davis one of the top three tight ends in the league, right behind Gronk and Kelsey.
Those are big words.
And
higher than Demetrius?
Higher than Demetrius. And he's able to
– Shut it down. Let's just shut it down.
But, I mean, he's able to – he has the body position, and he's vertical stretch. He has good hands. It's always just been a focus thing. You know, if he's on the team that's doing well and he's able to focus, I mean, he's a matchup nightmare for most people.
All right, well, there you have it. We've covered X's and O's. When we come back, we'll play a little bit of a game. And, of course, we'll make our game predictions. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Pete Sweeney here with Sean Barber and Joel Thorman. We have Real MN Chiefs fan Seth Kaiser on the line. Seth will actually be in town for Monday Night Football. Seth, how you feel about that?
I am so excited. It's going to be awesome. Anyone who's listening and watching, if you send me a message and offer to feed me, I will accept that offer on Monday night. I'm willing to do that for you.
Look at him. Just going to come, probably give you some hot takes, eat some hot plates, and you'll have a good time with Seth. I want to talk about the game predictions for this game. And, Sean, we're going to start with you. What do you predict happens in this game?
Man, I think, you know, the Redskins have a safety, man. They have a safety that is their emotional leader. He's their leader on and off the field. He gets the team together to watch film. It's kind of like he's their Eric Berry, DJ Swearinger. And when you hear how Minuski talks about this guy, it sounds so much like Berry. It sounds so much like they're going to ride and die with him. So if we can keep him from making that big emotional play to make that momentum swing to the Redskins side, I see it's going to be a close first half. The Chiefs going to be leading 14-9. We'll score another touchdown in the second half, be up 21-9 the majority of the game. And then late in the game, we're going to give up a garbage touchdown, 21-16 Chiefs.
All right, Joel.
That's actually fairly close to what I was thinking as well. I think this is a defensive battle. The Chiefs haven't given up more than 21 at home since week one last year. So I see this as 20-16 Chiefs.
All right. I have 24-21 Chiefs. I don't think it's going to be one of these games where the Chiefs dominate. The Redskins have looked too good on defense for me. I think there's going to be similar problems to last week as far as containing the defensive front of the Washington Redskins. We saw that against the Chargers, but I think the Chiefs are able to score enough points to outlast their 21-24 with our guy Butker making the difference. All right, all right, Seth.
I'm going to go a little bit different from the crowd, and going to say 30-17 Chiefs. I think people are overestimating the Redskins right now because they beat up on a paper tiger that they are uniquely suited to beat. They are uniquely suited to beat the Raiders, much like the Chiefs are. And I think that people are overestimating them a bit. I think they're an okay team, but their defense isn't that good. And that's what people are thinking because of one game. I think it's going to be a comfortable Chiefs win, and I'm going to be there screaming.
Well, there you have it. Once again, Chiefs across the board. Seth, I want to thank you for your prediction. I know you have to go do lawyer things, but we appreciate it, and we'll see you this weekend.
That sounds great. Talk to you guys later.
All right, now it's time for our game this week, and it's called Do You Know Your New Chiefs? And what it involves is I'm going to give you a question, and I'm going to say, okay, do you know your new Chiefs? And then you'll hear their answer. First question, what is Butker's range? What did he say his range was within five?
Oh, easy. 52 yards.
52 yards, Joel?
He said it was 55-60 yards.
Let's hear the answer.
What kind of answer is that? He gets a five-yard range. You can't say 55-60.
Well, let's just see what the answer is.
55-60, and I think most kickers – can do that. I mean, being the NFL, you kind of have to be able to do that. But wherever they put me, I feel like I'm comfortable. As long as it's 60 and in, I don't think I'm changing anything with my form. You know, just kick it smooth.
So it's 55, 60, or wherever, or you could be 80. I mean, he opened it up to even further.
Yeah, we'll see if he actually has that range in a game when the pressure's on and it matters. Because I feel like every kicker says, if you know the conditions are right, I can kick it 70 yards. So we'll see.
All right, moving on. How many copies of Sports Illustrated did Kareem Hunt buy when he was on the cover? Sean?
Zero.
10.
I probably got about 10 of them, and my mom probably got about 15.
Sean, you got to pay attention, man.
Oh, man, sit down, be humble, dog. Like...
Here, all right, so Joel wins, but we'll play the last question for kicks anyway. There's no sound connected to this one. Did some research on this. What did Patrick Mahomes' college teammates nickname him?
Double or nothing on this one. Double or nothing.
Oh, could get a push if he gets it.
Who's the guy from the Christmas Story? The guy that you shoot your eye out with the red rocket gun or something like that.
I don't know.
Sound like that's the answer.
The Christmas story. You know, the guy shoots his eye out.
Ralphie.
Okay.
Ralphie.
Well, I don't know the answer, so in case you could possibly be right, I'll also go with Ralphie.
That's like the people on Price is Right.
That's a game strategy right here.
You bet a dollar over.
Yeah, he went with the $1.
Well, you're both wrong, of course. The nickname was The Musician. The nickname was given to Mahomes because of his beautiful style of play.
Didn't know that. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, that was.
Might sound like another t-shirt. Anyway, well, that's it for the football aspect of the Arrowhead Pride podcast. What I wanted to do was leave this portion of the podcast for the end of the show. I had seen a lot of comments that sometimes you just want people to stick to football, and that's your right to not listen. So if you don't want to talk about Anthem stuff, I would shut off the Facebook Live or the podcast now. We're going to get into what the Chiefs will be doing with the Anthem this weekend. It was a discussion this week. Alex Smith sounded off. So let's just get to the sound of Alex Smith discussing what the Chiefs plan to do during the Anthem this week.
I think one of the best things about this last week, the way our team handled it, is we didn't have any of these big, I think, team meetings, crazy discussions. I think this team has a lot of respect for each other. I think we have a lot of leaders in this locker room, you know, and I think there is a lot of mutual respect going back to that. I think our focus was on where it should have been, right, was playing the division game, getting ready to play that game with all the distractions going on, you know, for us, which were a lot. We were ready all week, right? We knew it was we're going to play in a different environment, small stadium, facilities were going to be different, you know, and then you throw on the emotions of last weekend. And I thought our team responded to it well. I think you looked at a lot of these teams that did, you know, potentially it did get distracting, you know. So this week will be no different. Our focus is on playing Washington on a big stage, really good football team, getting ready for that. I mean, that's where our focus needs to be.
So Smith mentioned some teams got distracted. The Pittsburgh Steelers actually said it was a little distracting and they wound up losing. The Denver Broncos came out and said that they'll be standing together this Sunday. I believe in the American right to have your own opinion. So we're going to give each one of us the floor and then we'll shut down the show. So Joel, what are your thoughts on what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think as it relates to the Chiefs specifically, you know, Andy Reid seems like just such a leader that I don't think this is going to be, you know, a negative impact on the Chiefs. And I know there's a ton of attention around it. You know, I'm sure we have our own feelings, but like, I always think, you know, I see a lot of comments about it and no one's ever said like, oh, that's a great tweet on that topic. I'm going to change my mind. So I just think the, you know, adding the type of context you want is so hard to, you know, kind of have a conversation about it.
So I just wrote something down because I didn't want to just get too emotional about it. So I said, when did kneeling become an action that symbolizes anything besides submission? While in prayer or reflection, those who kneel submit their moments of time. I understand all the individuals who are kneeling are submitting their moment before or during the national anthem to bring awareness to racial injustice. No disrespect, no turning their backs, no spitting, no name calling, and no mocking our military. Bringing owners and players together is a good thing. Bringing cops and communities together is a great thing. Effective communication needs open discussion by both sides that are willing to listen. I pray for progress. I pray for our country. Whether individuals kneel or stand, speak out or in silence. And I wanted to finish that with thanking all of our military and those who serve our country to keep us safe and risk their lives to protect our freedoms.
All right, Sean, that was great. Okay. I want to kind of preface my thoughts by saying politics aren't my thing. And it's part of the reason that I became a sports journalist. And the reason I'm discussing them today is because now they've entered my world. And I feel I'd be remiss to not say something. I also want to preface that I am very aware that I am a white man, and that what this whole thing is about, there are certain things that I don't understand. I've never experienced getting pulled over and having a fear for my life. Those type of things. So I know that as I begin talking about this, I'm well aware of that. Now, I want to start with Trump, because Trump kind of set this off. No matter what you say, and you have a right to say whatever you want, whatever your opinion is, and our president has a right just like I have a right. He used the words sons of bitches. And listen, you guys have kids. If you're watching CBS or Nickelodeon, and all of a sudden the words sons of bitches comes through the TV, and your son or daughter starts saying, sons of bitches, you're pretty ticked off, aren't you? With that alarm being set in your head, for most people, I consider that's probably like 90% of parents, you know, what I would consider a good parent in the world. If that's a problem, isn't it a problem when he's referring to players as sons of bitches? And it puts whatever you're saying at that point in a negative light to begin with. That being said, he said what he said. He has the opinion he had. But I think the bigger thing is we're losing sight of what this original thing was about. It's not about whether you respect the anthem or the flag, or whether you do respect the anthem or the flag. Colin Kaepernick, when he started this, wanted to create awareness for racial injustice. And a lot of people in that have said, well, why is he doing that in a football field? Why is he doing that during the anthem? And I tried to look into myself and look at my friends, things like that. And, you know, people may say, hey, go do it at a police office. Go do it at the J.C. Nichols Fountain. But the thing is, if he was doing it at the J.C. Nichols Fountain, if these players were doing it at the J.C. Nichols Fountain or at a police office, police station, would you notice? Would I be having this conversation? Would football fans be burning things? Would it be changing your action? Likely not. It'd be out of your realm. I don't like to talk about politics. What am I doing right now? I'm talking about politics. That's why he did it during the anthem, because it changes something in your day. It's noticeable. And that was to create conversation. So I think what's been lost in this is everyone's saying, oh, he doesn't respect the flag. He does respect the flag. It's not what this is about at all. And I think that's what happened when Trump highlighted the situation, is these players said, we're not backing down. And the big thing is, no matter how you feel, and I respect your decision to be upset that players are quote unquote disrespecting the flag. But instead of getting angry, instead of doing something crazy and burning your jerseys on YouTube, I think it's important for people to come together and have the conversation. Whether you're upset that there's people that are doing racial injustice, or whether you're on the other side and you're just upset about the flag, figure out what's happening here. And I think let's all meet in the middle. And my last thing on this is, over the next few weeks, we've seen already the Denver Broncos come out with a statement. It says, we're all going to stand together. And there was a New York Times article that said, the owners are trying to scramble and figure out, what are we going to do about this situation? The big thing is, Colin Kaepernick is, without a doubt, it's hard to argue this, one of the best 100 quarterbacks in the world. And there's 32 owners, and he still can't find a job. Think about that for a second. And remember, as the next few weeks pass on, actions speak louder than words. I hope you respect my opinion. I, of course, respect the opinion of all the Americans that have an opinion on this, and I think that's where we should all meet in the middle. You're allowed to feel how you feel about this. That being said, we all can agree, Chiefs-Redskins on Monday night will be something to watch, and this has been the Arrowhead Pride Podcast.